All right, good. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. I fully know when I get started here, I want to let you know that I know the devil's going to fight me, has been fighting me all the way through this, putting together this message, and will continue to fight me all the way until I'm finished. That means I have to get through this. I've got to get through this and get it all the way out, because I know Satan hates it and he doesn't want this preached, because he loves to keep people into bondage. That's what he loves to do. That's his game. He wants to take children. He wants to put them into bondage. He wants to take people and he wants to put them into bondage. But you know what? God gives the victory. And I'm going to show you that. And we're going to talk about victory later on today. I've got to get through this. This is going to show you some victory too. But this afternoon, we're going to talk about victory. Okay? But right now, we're going to deal with something on children and spiritual warfare, when Satan is after your sons. That's what I've called this message. And I'm not surprised. I have had so many fiery arrows thrown at me since I've been trying to get through this, and I know what the devil wants to do, and it's not going to work by God's grace. I've been praying about it. I've sought the Lord's face. Many of you have been praying about it, and we're going to get through this and do what God wants us to do and preach through this. We've had many challenges this last year here in 2016, but you know what? Through it all, the Lord sustained us. Even up until last night. To finish the year out. If you think about it, we finished the year out with somebody trying to attack us and assault us, and the Lord put it down, and the man was arrested, and he was taken away. And another man tried to, but the Lord shut his mouth and shut him down, and he had to leave and look like the fool that he was. That's God's power, and he's going to do the same to Satan here today. He's going to shut his mouth, and he's going to destroy his works. By the way, first, turn to 1 John chapter 3. I want to read you my new favorite verse that the Lord has laid on my heart here. This is like my new favorite verse, and then we'll get back into where we were at over there, because I'm going to preach on this a little bit here today, but this afternoon, tonight, whatever you want to call it. But I want to get to 1 John chapter 3 here real quick, and verse number 8. I know the devil hates this verse, and that makes me love it even more. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. But see, this is the part I love right here. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Do you understand that? That's why Jesus came. That's why he was manifested. We're going to talk about that later, though. I just want to throw that out there. Let it stick in your mind and your heart, and we're going to talk about that later on. Now we're going to get back to this right now. And by the way, opposition from Satan just shows me that I'm doing what God wants me to do. That's what it shows me. And it just gets me more fired up to continue to do what God has called me to do. See, it doesn't leave me in discouragement. When I see these fiery arrows, though they affect you a little bit in the beginning, after a while you start to wake up and say, okay, wait a minute, why is this happening? Oh, I know why this is happening, because the devil hates me, and he hates the work that God is doing. And he wants to shut it down and shut me up. But like I said before, by God's grace, over my cold, dead body. And I mean it. Matthew chapter 17, verse number 14. And when they were come to the multitude, verse number 14, yep. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray you be with us now. We need you, Lord. We need the power of God. Lord, we need this to reach into the hearts of your people so they understand the importance of this. And reach out to anybody who's listening to this, Lord, that it might affect their lives and hearts, and help them. Heal them, strengthen them. Give them a battle plan to fight Satan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, the title of this message is Children in Spiritual Warfare, When Satan is After Your Sons. We need to understand that the devil is ruthless. You have to understand that the devil, he is absolutely ruthless, and he does not give up. He does not stop. And he does not only go, he Listen, he does not only go after adults. And this is what we think in our mind. Well, you know, the devil, he's only after us. No, he's not. He's after everything. And if you have a son or a daughter, yes, he's after them. Why? Because he hates you. Because he hates God. Because he hates everything that God stands for. And he hates everything in your life. And if you're a parent, congratulations. You have another level of spiritual warfare to fight and to battle through and to understand. This is one aspect of spiritual warfare that I've never heard anyone really talk about. I don't hear him talk about the children much when it comes to this. I really haven't. Let me go on to say this. There is a bunch of nonsense out there, okay? I'm going to say this first of all. There is a glamorization to spiritual warfare out there. Let me tell you something, friend. These nutso jobs that write these books out here and act like they know how to control spirits and devils and everything else, and they know what they're doing and they have the command of spirits and they know how to cast them out, they're liars. And they've never really been through spiritual warfare. They've watched too many Hollywood movies. They need to stop watching The Exorcist and really get in the Bible, okay? Because they're goofballs, nut jobs, false, fake, phony, false flag people is what they are. They're a bunch of stinking liars. You know what? Last year I spent a year going through spiritual warfare, and it was nothing like that glamorized nonsense. It's a bunch of fake nonsense, charismatic Hollywood junk is all it is. And they sell books and they make money. And I'll tell you, one of the main publishers has that Whitaker Publishing Company. They publish a lot of nonsense and garbage. You know what you can do with that stuff? Burn it and watch its ashes sink to hell, because that's where it belongs. It's a bunch of nonsense. Anyway, okay, got that out. All right. Right. What a bunch of fakes and frauds. We're going to do a show. We're going to do a radio show sometime on this counterfeit spiritual warfare, this glamorization nonsense, okay? Let me tell you something. Last year, that spiritual warfare, being able to look and discern and see the enemy and understand there's something there because God has showed you and you can't let go of it and you've got to deal with it and it's got to be rooted up and kicked out. That's warfare. That's real warfare, full of all subtlety and evil. Not this Hollywood garbage that you see out there. Anyway, we'll save that for another thing. But this, and you know what else is real practical warfare? This right here, your children. No, you're not going to see my head spin around 30 times up here. Hopefully. you're not going to see a bunch of glamorized things. What you are going to get is real Bible and straight Bible truth on how to deal with an issue that is real, that Satan is after your children. Is he trying to scare me? Well, I hope it does. I hope it scares you. I hope you wake up. I hope you wake up and understand this is real. This is not fake. Like, the devil hates you and he hates your children. And he wants to deceive them. He wants to seduce them, deceive them subtly, and he wants to turn them against you. That's what he wants to do. That's his goal. So that's discouraging. Well, it's real. So deal with it and fight it. And realize what you're fighting. Sometimes, anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, I gotta slow down here. Listen, I never heard really a Baptist talk about this. I've seen him give you a bunch of psychobabble. I've heard that. I've heard all these psychologists type and these mind things that they do. You know what? No, it's not a psychology problem. It's not a psychological problem. You know what it is? It's a spiritual problem. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I'm going to get to that. But against principalities, against powers, except children. They're just wrestling against flesh and blood. Really, you think their rebellion is just them and it's not? Yeah, their rebellion is their sin, but you don't think it's instigated by Satan? You don't think Satan doesn't use that rebellion? Of course he does. You don't think he's not using it to get to you? Of course he is. That's the whole goal. That's the whole game plan. That's what he's after. He wants to use any bit of sin that he can find. And then he wants to use it against you. And then he wants your children to hate God because he wants them to go to hell. Because he's ruthless, he's wicked, and he doesn't care about anything. Right, a murderer, a liar. There's no truth in him. That's right. None. None. The example in Scripture of the devil and his kingdom attempting to afflict or possess children is very real, though. They don't always have to be possessed. They could be afflicted by the devil, though. That's right. Buffett had deceived. Now, not all things that happen are possession, but we can see the effects of possession. We can also see the attack of the devil on a child. So you've got to be able to see past some things and look at it. And when I start hearing some things and I start seeing it, I just start looking like, oh, I recognize that. I know where that comes from. That comes from Satan. And then that makes me fight so much harder. Because you know what? After you're done licking your wounds and realizing what you've been through, then it's time to get up and fight. Let me say this, though. Number one, children need not live in fear of the devil. I want to be very clear as we begin this sermon that there is no reason for you to live in fear of the devil as a child. Children, boys and girls, let me say something. The Lord Jesus Christ has defeated Satan and his kingdom. He is defeated already, but he is waiting for judgment. But just because he is a defeated foe, he is not less dangerous. And you have to understand the war that's on for your mind is the same war that your parents fight. Those bad thoughts, those arrows that the devil shoots in, it's the same war your parents go through. Why, as parents, do we believe that our children won't go through that same battle? You think the devil just skips over children? Of course he doesn't. I want you to understand, though, as children, that the devil can bother you. He can attempt you. He can attempt to afflict you. But he cannot stand up to the prayers of the saints of God when he's identified. He won't be able to stick around as long as he might want to once the cover's ripped off. You know, I've seen a lot of attacks on this church, but I can tell you one thing. A lot of them are now on the outside, and now they're trying to attack back on the inside, but it's not going to work. Children, understand one thing, that there is much power in the name of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 10, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ has power over the devil and unclean spirits. And I want you to understand that sometimes evil thoughts and things enter into your mind as a little boy or girl, and they are not really from you. They are not your thoughts sometimes. And you wonder where they come from, and you're very uncomfortable when you think about them and you hear them. And they're not yours. And he can use dreams, and he can try to scare you with dreams and make you think that that is your reality or that is you. But that's not. That's just the devil working his wickedness because he's ruthless. It's a sin when you entertain those thoughts that's when you become into sin. When that thought comes, you are to cast that thought down. Say, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Amen. Some of you have not come to the realization of your sin yet, but you will one day come to that and have to give an answer for your sin and repent and believe the gospel. Someday you will come to that realization. Someday you will see where God has showed you how wicked you really are. Then it is your responsibility to throw down your arms, to surrender, to give it all to the Lord Jesus Christ, and let him take out that stony hard heart and put in a soft heart, a new heart. But when the devil is afflicting your thoughts, you need to talk to your mom and dad and ask for prayer. Cry out to the Lord and ask Him to cleanse your thoughts and heart of things. When you are tempted to do evil or bad things and get into mischief, cast down those thoughts. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. It's bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction drives it far from him. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You have to understand that you can request prayer, and you can call upon the Lord to help you when you believe things are not right. Remember, God called out to little Samuel and answered, and he answered and spoke to him. Remember? Remember? Here am I, Lord. He called out to him, Samuel, Samuel. I want you to think about, if you're old enough and you can read God's word or listen to it, then you should think on those things. You should read those things. Little children have no excuse for not being in the scriptures or listening to them or hearing hymns, especially if their parents will let them do that. They need to. They need to do that. Every spiritual warfare lesson that is important to adults is to children as well. Number two, the Bible shows us Satan attacks children. Shows us very plainly. Okay, if he shows us, then why don't I ever hear any Baptist pastors talk about it? Why don't they ever preach about it? Who ever sat in a church service and had a pastor warn you like that? I never did. Right. When do they ever talk about these things? Right. They sing Patch the Pirate Poochie Lip songs. That's what they sing. Right? How's that going to help them fight the devil? There's no such thing as a Christian pirate. You know why they think there's a... Oh my goodness. I don't have time to go down that road because I'm really not going after Patch the Pirate today. But let me just say this, okay? It really fits the fundamentalist movement's design. When you have a Patch the Pirate, you have a Christian murderer, pillager, raper. You understand that? And then they have Christian drunks and they have Christian homosexuals and they have Christian all those other things. Well, they prayed the prayer, so... Yeah, I've met a lot of lost people that prayed prayers. Anyway, so the Bible shows us Satan's attack on children. The devil hates children, and we have to understand that from the beginning. It's important to understand how much he hates children. He knows what the Bible says better than most Christians. And he also knows this verse in Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, he knows that verse, so he wants to afflict children at a young age. So then if he can afflict them and pervert their minds and try to destroy them, then guess what he can do? If he can turn them away from their parents, if he can turn them away from the truth, then he hopes to be able to maintain that for the rest of their life. But guess what? The Son of God was manifested. He might destroy the works of the devil. Satan knows full well this Bible principle of training up a child. That's why his kingdom wars against children. All the wicked atrocities that happen out there happen to children. Satan has always attacked children. Always. Walt Disney is an attack on children. That is an absolute attack on children. You believe it is. To subvert and take their minds and interest them and get them locked into magic and witchcraft. That's the goal. That's what he wants to do. And rebellion. All those cartoons teach are rebellion. Rebellion. So doesn't he wonder that children watch those and they become rebellious? They hide that rebellion. Nope, don't listen to Daddy. He doesn't know anything. Listen to Peter Pan flying through your window. Stinking perverted devil flying through your window. Yeah, taking your daughter and going to fly to Never Never Land. No adults there. Everybody's kids forever. Yeah, there's a pirate there too. At least he was bad. I don't know. Captain Hook, that's right. Leviticus 18:21. I want to show you the attack on children through the scriptures that we see. Leviticus chapter 18:21. This is Satan's attack on children. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Wait, what happened here? Well, they were sacrificing children. That's what happened. Why? Because that's what Satan does. He hates children. Occultism and child sacrifice all goes together. Hello, Planned Parenthood. Right? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination. Oh, what's that part of that? Why is that there? Because Satan attacks children, that's why. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. All together, right there. Because Satan hates children. 2 Kings 21:6, and he made his son pass through the fire and observe times and use enchantments and dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. All those things provoke God to anger. All those things God hates. See, children, he made them pass through the fire. The devil hates children. And he desires to use them for his will. He desires to destroy them. He hates God's order. He hates innocence, and he has a desire to defile innocence. It is his number one goal to turn children away from God. Especially those who come from Christian homes. That's his number one attack. Listen, young boy or girl, don't let the devil use you. Don't let the devil defile you and use you and then sit back and laugh at your destruction. Because that's what he wants to do. That's his desire. That's his goal. He wants to steal your heart. He wants to make the world so attractive to you. He wants to make rebellion so attractive to you. But only he doesn't show you the end thereof. He doesn't show you the morgue. He doesn't show you the drug abuse. He doesn't show you the disease. He doesn't show you the death and hell for all of eternity. He doesn't show you your demise. He doesn't show you that. He doesn't show you where all that hate and rebellion and bitterness leads you. He masks that. He masks the consequences for your actions. He hides them from you so you don't see the consequences of your actions. Only pleasure of sin for a season. So all you see is the fun in it. So the devil comes after children. Jeremiah 32:35, and they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire into Moloch, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination. God doesn't, listen, boy or girl, listen to me very closely, little boy or girl. God doesn't want you to be defiled. God doesn't want you to do those wicked things. God doesn't want you to follow Satan. He doesn't want you to be destroyed by him. He does love children. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me not. His arms are open to children. Ready for their repentance. Matthew 17:14. We're going to see some more of this, how Satan went after children. Matthew 17:14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said to them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth out, not out, but by prayer and fasting. We're going to be doing some of that this year, because I know the devil's after our children. We'll be doing some of that this year. It's a spiritual war. It's got to be fought spiritually. And it will be, by God's grace. Satan was afflicting this boy. He was possessed. Now a child does not have to be possessed to be afflicted or agitated by the devil. But the issue is more extreme here with this boy than many others. But nevertheless, Satan goes after these children. We can never neglect our children in spiritual warfare. We have to understand that over and over again, the devil uses children and comes after them. He wants to destroy them. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. You know what she did? She didn't take no for an answer. You know what we have to do? We can't take no for an answer. We have to bombard the throne of God for our children every single day. This is a battle. It is a war. It is raging. He wants the generation. Why? Because he knows that we want to raise a generation to war against his Antichrist kingdom. And he is going to do everything he can to discourage, to deceive, to try to stop it. But I will tell you, by God's grace, he will lose. Because he can keep rattling his chain, and that's all he can do. But he's not going to get the victory. Because we've already been promised it. Satan is a bully and a deceiver and a liar. And he will go after those that are weaker, those that he can get the advantage over. Listen to Aaron's testimony. He had many things happen to him as a boy. And the influence of the devil. I'm not going to go into those things too deeply. Some of your children like mine haven't had those same influences. But you know what he did? And he had a lot of those things happen. And he had the devil manifest in many ways. And struck fear in his heart. Many times over. I would venture to say that he probably had 20 or 30 mild heart attacks his whole life. Out of fear. But you know what? I want you to think about this, though. When my family watched movies in Hollywood and everything else, there were demonic influences there, and the devil uses those things to afflict children. We'll talk more about that later. But here we have a lady here that has a daughter afflicted by the devil. Now, there's no report that this woman was into witchcraft or a wicked lady by any means. I mean, she went to the Lord, worshipped him as Lord, called out to him as Lord. But the Bible shows us that it's possible, and our children need to be considered in spiritual warfare and not overlooked. We can't overlook them. We have to understand that they're targets for the devil. We can't... Listen, you can't just go to sleep and act like this battle's not real. You can't just sit on the sidelines and act like you're not in it. If you're a member of this church, you have a responsibility to pray for these children. You have a responsibility to pray for these families. Amen. We have a responsibility to pray one for another. Because we know what the devil's up to. And see, once you preach things like this, it just kind of rips the cover off of his schemes. He doesn't like that. That's okay, because we hate him too. Acts chapter 16, please. Acts chapter 16. You're going to see it again. A damsel, a young girl. She was used by the devil. Afflicted and subverted by the devil. Say, preacher, this is uncomfortable. Why do we have to talk about this? Because nobody else will. Nobody else will. And the Bible says, preach it. Preach the word. Preach the whole counsel of God. Right? Right. And Paul talks about Ephesians for the church to arm up and be ready for war. Not just soul winning. Not just sitting on the sidelines and making everybody feel comfortable and happy in corporate American churches. In 501c3 corporate America, where nothing is said out of place or out of line, and the pastor controls every word that comes over the pulpit by a well-scripted manual that he uses, and everything is just so complete, and there's no power of God, and it's boring, and nobody cares what he says anyway, because it has no power. He's not called of God. He's not warring against the devil. The devil knows that he leaves him alone. He's just a big corporation making millions of dollars, and nobody cares what they do, because they're not afflicting. They're not going after Satan's kingdom. They're not doing exploits against his kingdom. They're not fighting him. They have no power and nobody cares. Plain and simple. And that's why when you hear them preach, you want to go to sleep. That's why. Because the devil's not afraid of it either. Right? Acts chapter 16, verse number 16. And it came to pass, as he went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Now it's interesting, they take this young girl and they infest her with devils and then use her to make money. That's just like the devil. He'll use you, and then when he's done with you, he'll throw you away. Acts chapter 16, verse number 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. She just kept saying that over and over again to them. Just like agitating them. Right? These be the servants of the Most High God. Oh, this is a great church. This is a great church. Mm-hmm. Right? Until it calls your stinking sin down, then it's not great anymore, is it? Then you don't like it anymore, do you? Then you want to get out. Yeah. Beware of flattery. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. See how they mocked it? I mean, you think about that for a minute now, okay? Here's this little girl, right? And she is walking around and she is like mocking them. She is following them and she's mocking them. She's got a spirit of a devil in her and she's mocking the preaching of God's word. She's walking around and she's like, really what she's saying is true, but she's doing it to mock them. The devil is anyway. Doing it to mock. It's all mocking. It's all games. So look at Satan. Look at Satan's game plan. He's taking a child and he's using that child to be a fake and to mock. See that? That's how ruthless Satan is. Just to use some little girl. That's how he works. That's how he is. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, Paul's getting tired of it. He's like, okay, this is enough. It's grieving him. He's like, it's vexing his soul. He's tired of it. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. Now, that made some people mad. Because we read that those people were mad. Why? Because they made a lot of money on that girl. And now that devil's gone and can't afflict that little girl anymore. What do they want with the little girl? Nothing. She could starve on the side of the road. They don't care about her. And that's how Satan works. He'll take you, little child. He'll use you if you listen to him, and then he'll throw you away. Once he separates you from everybody and everything that's ever loved you. That's what the devil does. That's how he works. So we see here the examples in Scripture that children can be possessed by devils. And they can be tormented by them, agitated by them, and even led to mischief and evil by them. Now, your sin is your fault, even as a child. But sometimes you listen to the devil and you'll follow him. Now, the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction driveth it far from him. So not every time a child acts up or sins does that mean it's the devil. Because the devil only uses what he has to work with. And man's heart is evil and vanity from the days of his youth. So we're going to look at some of those open doorways where the devil could get a foot in the door to your child's heart and life. And I believe that it's important that we do not overlook those things. All right? So first, we have to understand a child's heart is sinful too. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 17. You have to understand that David said he was conceived, right? He was shaped in iniquity. He was conceived in iniquity. What did he say? He was shaped in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me? I think it was something like that. You know, David knew that he was a sinner, and he chose his sin. David understood that. Right. Matthew chapter 15, verse number 17. Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out of the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from what? The heart. And they defile the man. Listen to me. You can think, you can blame the devil, you can blame whatever you want to, all you want to. You can blame, oh, well, I saw something bad out there, or I saw this, or I saw that. Yeah, you got to keep your eyes from evil, that's true. But you know what? It's your heart. It's your heart. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. First thing. Where do they come from? Your heart. They come from you, the seat of all affections and emotions. Sure, Satan can play on your imagination. He can throw things in there that you're not even thinking. But our hearts, they come from the heart. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defile not a man. You know what? I've had people say to me, well, I've had this evil thought or this evil thought. Well, you're not going to surprise me. You have an evil heart. I understand. Because you have an evil heart. And it's important to understand with your children, too, that you will never be able to discipline out the sin nature. Do you understand that? You can't do that. Now, you have a responsibility to correct and to discipline and to love them and correct them and everything else. But at the end of the day, it's a spiritual battle. And if you lose sight of the spiritual warfare that it is, you can't discipline out that sin nature. They must be born again. They have to be saved. They have to be forgiven. They have to come. God has no grandchildren. They have to come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have to reject the devil. They have to reject their wicked, selfish pride. They have to reject their rebellion, and they have to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Even a child has an evil heart. We don't have to teach them to lie or to rebel or to teach. Let me ask you a question. Did you teach your child to lie? Did you? No. How'd they figure that out? They have a fallen nature. You understand that? You can be truthful with them, tell them the truth all the time, and they lie to you. And you're like, why did you lie to me? Did you have to teach your child to steal? No, you didn't steal in front of them. Right. Sorry. I can't talk about that because it's something so new that I shouldn't do that, so I won't. But anyway, I'll pass. But that whole cookie thing just reminded me of something that. I remember two of my children a few months back. Well, it was like 6 months ago now, 8 months ago probably now, that they were cookie bandits, and you know when I turned my back, all of a sudden I seen cookies bigger than their faces, and then like trying to run down the hall with them, and they got in trouble. You know why? Because they stole. Now, we didn't teach them to steal. Who taught them to steal? They're sinners. They're sinners. You have to understand that. And you children, either you are sinners and you have an evil heart, and you cannot make your heart good. There is nothing that you can do to make your heart good. Only Jesus can give you a new heart. When they wake to the fact that they are sinners and their sin nature is on them and they are sinning before God, that is when the devil has a chance to use that evil heart for his advantage. And he starts to use that. So we do our best to keep evil from our children, but there comes a time when their evil hearts will manifest and show them to be the sinners that they are. And Satan can use that evil heart to his advantage. And just as he throws fiery darts at the parents, he will throw it at your children as well. Now, so first of all, understanding their heart is fallen. They have a fallen nature. They're sinners. Understanding that will help you understand better that I have to guard them. I have to be careful for them. I have to watch out for them and pray for them because they are sinners. Right? That's important to understand. See, that's so simple. Everybody knows that, right? Not really. For some reason, we become very vulnerable to that thought, that idea, or gullible enough into thinking the depths of depravity that even a child can go to, right? Or that Satan can use them for. He's always looking for a way in. Always. You understand that? And sometimes you just go ahead and kick the door open and let him in. He doesn't have to look too hard when the door's wide open for him to see it. All right, so first let me talk about charged objects or cursed objects. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 25. Now, a lot of this, I'm not going to go into great detail with this because we have a sermon on this already. So I'm not going to get into this. You can go back and listen to that and as far as that goes. But Deuteronomy 7, 25, the graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. So Disney, movies, Hollywood, trinkets that have satanic background to them, occultism, all those things, books, whatever. Burn them. Throw it away. Keep it out of your house. Keep it away. Those are doorways, even to a child. You know, just think about, you know, when I used to watch those movies and do those things, you know, even the things you would consider innocent, the Disney stuff, as when you're blind to and stupid, and you see that, you think those things are not that big of a deal. But when you see those things for what they are, they do. And those images, what do? They burn inside of them. They have an impact. You know, the one thing that I am learning is that even though you repent of something, even though you get some things right, there's still consequences in this life for your actions. And we can never forget that. And that's hard to take sometimes. It's hard to live with those things. Even though you get right about something, there are consequences for your actions. Those don't just go away and disappear. They don't. All right? But it says, don't bring a cursed thing like it, lest thou also be cursed like it. What does it say, though? And thou shalt utterly abhor it. Hate it. Hate it. And war against it. That's right. Hate it and war against it because it's evil. And it's rebellion to God. Is this too real and practical? Anyway, there's a list of things that we've preached about, but I'll move on. Next one is movies, video games, and other things like it. Images of evil can affect the heart of a child. Think about Disney movies and other evil things with magic and video games with magic and other things like that can defile a child and leave a doorway for the devil to afflict their minds. Because, you know, let me give you an example of this, okay? You see this. This is a fake tree, obviously, but, whoa. I think, isn't it? Or is it? I don't know, maybe it's real. No, it's wax. I think it's fake. Okay, anyway. Okay, thanks. You know, there's the root of it down there, figuratively, right? We understand that. When in your home you repent of some things, you get some things right, in your heart it's rooted up and it's thrown away, right? If you get it right. And you rip the root out and everything and you get rid of it, right? It's like you do with weeds, right, Lee? If you pull the top of the weeds off, that doesn't do any good, does it? No, you got to get down to the bottom and you got to pull the root out, right? The rut. You got to pull that out, right? All the way. You got to pull it all out. Well, I can do that with me. But if I have children that are not saved and I've pulled all the flowers off and those are gone and I burned all those and I got rid of all those, but the roots stayed in their heart. And I can't take that out. Only they can repent and God can grant them repentance and God can remove it from them. That's how sin works. Right? Mine eye affects my heart, remember? We talked about all that in other sermons. Pretty much any doorway that an adult could have, a child could too. But we don't think about that very often. We only think about adults. The Bible's very clear. I will set no unclean thing before mine eyes, no wicked thing before mine eyes. Remember that? Well, those things are set in front of children's eyes. Even when you pull them away, the root may stay in them. Remember Lot's wife? You know, Lot's wife left Sodom and Gomorrah, right? And she walked away from Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot left Sodom and Gomorrah, but he couldn't get Sodom out of her heart. She still lusted after earthly things. She still wanted the world. Sodom and Gomorrah was the world, and she still wanted the world. Though the angel came in and pulled them out of the world, right? Took them out of the world. But his wife looked back and became a pillar, right? A memorial against rebellion to God. Proof that no matter what, Lot failed. And if you want to go ahead and end up like Lot, think about it this way. Everybody says, Lot was saved. Lot was saved. Yeah, his whole family went to hell. Like Jesus said, remember Lot's wife? Remember her? She couldn't get it out of her heart, though. He got her out of Sodom, but he couldn't get Sodom out of her heart. And that's a sin that we have to battle and war against, is getting the heart. My son, give me thine heart. That's the war that we have to fight, because it's a war for the heart. And we have to get Sodom. We've got to get the world. We've got to get worldliness out of their heart. And only God can do that. Only God can uproot that. Only God can break up that fallow ground through that preaching and prayer and everything else, other weapon that we have, can break it up. I've heard people talk about, well, there's stony ground, there's this ground. So if it's a stony ground, then it can never be saved. No, that's not what it says. Because Jesus said in Jeremiah, he said that he would take that stony heart from them and give them a new heart. You can't give up on anybody. That's right. He can break that up. That's right. Remember Lot's wife. And once your children get attracted to those things, then even though you take them away, it doesn't mean that those things left their heart. You repented, but if you were not saved and they never repented, then those things take root in their heart, and then the next doorway can come. What's that? Bitter and angry heart. A doorway to the devil. Bitterness and anger can set into a heart, and hate can set into a heart. Why? When our heart is set on, fixed on evil things or things of the world, and we're deprived of those things, we become covetous. We become idolaters. We worship self. And we want everything our way. Then we turn our back on God and become God haters. I've preached on this before, but you can see clearly how bitterness creeps in when the world is ripped away from an unsaved person that does not have Christ but is forced to live that saved life. Rejection of the world is hard for the lost. Your children, when you pull worldliness from them, that's very hard for them to take, especially if they're not born again. And you may take for granted that they are born again. Don't take that for granted. Until you see fruits meet for repentance. Until you see the hand of God. Until it's been tested in the fire and proven to be right. Amen. But you can see clearly how bitterness creeps in. And when the world is ripped away. Rejection and not being able to go to the same places and do the same things and see the same things is hard for children. Especially children of the saved. The older they are when they were ripped away from that, the more rebellion works in their heart. The more of a challenge it is in their heart, because they've held on to those things. They saw those things. They've been attracted by those things. And now those things have a pull in them. And this breeds and builds rebellion. You know, you beware of an outward submission and a happy look, because you don't know what's in the heart. You've got to root up what's in the heart. Beware of that outward submission only. When the world is ripped away, the truth is shown, and the lost child is left losing everything they liked and entertained by. But they are not saved, so they will not rejoice in that. But they may hold bitterness in their heart over being forced to leave the world. I check with your children too. Many people have left this church. Many of their friends have left this church. You need to find out what's in their heart. Find out how they have taken that. Find out how that has impacted them. Find out how that has hurt them. Find out when their friends are gone. When they suffer reproach and rejection for Christ's sake, and they are not even saved. I can accept it and count it but dung, like Paul said, that I may win Christ, but I have him. And what did he say after that? He said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. I can say that because I've been through the fire with him. I've had the rejection. And I can count it but dung that I may win Christ. And he's worth it. If everybody leaves, he's still worth it. If everybody turns their back and you follow Christ, he's still worth it. And he's worth so much more. Can you say that? Do you believe that in your heart? That he is worth it? 10,000 times over, he is worth it? When the world is ripped away, the truth is shown. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You got to check your children's heart. Find out where they're at. Find out what's in their heart. Find out what resteth in their heart, in the bosom of their heart. Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What's the next verse say? Neither give place to the devil. What happens when anger rests in your bosom? You give place to the devil. He gets a hoof in your door. That's what happens. He gets a foot in your life, in your home. One man said it this way, the angry man is compared to a ship sent into the sea, which hath the devil for its pilot. A sure way for the devil to have a foothold is anger and bitterness in the heart, and the devil will use that in a child's life to destroy them and to turn them from the truth. Never underestimate the depths of Satan's evil. Never. Never. Next one, fornication and pornography. Children seeing evil and wickedness or being part of that can cause evil, and the devil will use that. Things that Leviticus 18 forbids, uncovering nakedness and misconduct in the home can cause that. Can cause devils to come and be a part of that. These things can cause that devilish activity. I'm not going to get too far deep into this, but Aleister Crowley talked of that and gaining power and things of that off innocence and youth. And those things are straightly condemned, as in all sins in Leviticus chapter 18 are condemned. All of those sins connected with witchcraft and everything else. Keep your clothes on. Keep covered. Keep your doors shut. Keep them locked. Teach proper boundaries. Follow them. Raise your boys to be men. Raise your girls to be wives. Keepers at home. The word of God be not blasphemed. And all these things are an abomination of the Lord, and they're doorways to devils, to afflict children as well. Things like the music they listen to and the books they've read, all those things are doorways to devils and can cause a child to be open for demonic activity. Children need to be under the same protection and understanding of the danger of the devil as adults are. All those things are dangerous. Next one, drugs are doorways to devils for children. Putting children on Ritalin and other drugs, that pharmakia, that's witchcraft and sorcery. We've talked about that in other sermons. I'm not going to dig too deep into that. It's not necessary at this sermon. A sure way to get devils to children is drugs. Yeah, we saw a guy last night. That guy was infested with devils that attacked us, and that guy was on psychotropics. And he had medical marijuana, he said, and all kinds of stuff. They got him doped up. And he had devils, and that's why he resisted the preaching. That's why he violently raged against it. It'll open up their third eye. It'll open up to a lot of bad things. The spirit world and devils. Children don't need drugs or psychotropics. They need Jesus Christ. and the demonic influence out of their life. Those drugs are nothing but witchcraft and sorcery. Oh, my children need to be on these drugs. No, they don't. You need to parent them. They don't need any drugs. Yeah, they need discipline. They need instruction. They need love. Not throwing them on a bunch of pills. Here, take these pills. This will help you. Hasn't helped anybody yet. Right, or taking them to daycare so a bunch of strangers that don't know them raise them and don't care about them. Next, we should think and look in the scriptures. How do we protect our children from the devil? I mean, there's other doorways. I mean, all the same doorways that you see in adults can be there for children. But I've preached on those things already. But how do we protect our children from the devil? Good question. You know, here's the thing. Actually, it's a great question. It's very difficult, too. Because we can't win spiritual victories for our children in that sense. We can protect them, and that's a victory. We can pray for them. But we cannot get them saved, and we cannot save them. We can't be saved for them. We can't make decisions for them like that. Okay, you can't make spiritual decisions for your children like that. You can protect them from evil. You can do what a parent is supposed to do. You can guard them and protect their heart as much as you can. But at the end of the day, it's up to them. They're going to come a time where they have to make a decision. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Every child has to come to that kind of fork in the road where they have to decide which way they're going to go. I'm very leery of childhood professions. I know that there are some, and I know that they're real. But I also know that there are a lot of them that are manufactured, and they do not result in a lot of good fruit. They result in a lot of confusion, rebellion, And many times those children never come to the Lord. I believe the ones that come back and are faithful to God, you see the real fruit of that, that was real. But a lot of the other ones I see that they never come back, they never have a desire to, it's because there's nothing in them to do that. Okay, so we can't get them saved or save them, but we do need to pray and fast for them. Those are the weapons that God has given us. We need to pray and to fast for them and to put our armor on. We see that in Ephesians chapter 6, that we need to pray for them. And we need to bring them to Jesus. Amen? We need to bring them. See, how many? We need to lead them to the Lord. What do you mean by that? Say a prayer for them? No. Say a prayer with them and talk them into it? No. How do you lead them to the Lord? You teach them, right? What did Deuteronomy say? Deuteronomy, is it chapter 6 or chapter 4? I always, let's see. I'm going all over the place here. Okay, yeah, that's what I thought it was, yeah. Thank you. Yep. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Since thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. So, what do? We put the word of God in their hearts. We preach it to them. We teach it to them. We rehearse it with them. Diligently. Right? We don't give up. We don't stop. We keep going. We are faithful. We are firm. We are direct. That's one of the ways. Sometimes when we see behavior issues with children that are uncommon, we first think of other things in the spiritual warfare we're in. Sometimes we just don't think it's spiritual. Like, we don't think the devil would be doing anything. That's the last thing that we think about. It's like, no big deal. It's just regular behavior. Is it? How do you know? Did you pray about it? Did you pray and ask God for his help with it? Did you pray and ask God to deal with it? Why do we think that if we as adults fight the devil, that he will not go after our children? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always, here it is, praying always with all prayer and supplication. In the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, let me ask you a question. Do you think just because you hold that little baby in your hands right now, I want you to think about something. You're going to have to raise that child for Jesus Christ. That means you're going to have to actually act like a Christian, walk like a Christian, talk like a Christian, and be one. And you're going to actually have to support them. You're going to have to stand for them. You're going to have to intercede for them on their behalf. You are going to have to be the Christian if you want to see them get saved. You are going to have to be the Christian they need to see, because you're the only Christ they're going to see. Christ in you is it. Yep. So you have a responsibility. You see here, it's very clear. But what does he start with? Do you find this interesting in Ephesians chapter 6? He starts the chapter with, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, thou mayest live long on the earth. Right in the spiritual armor chapter, he has that right there. Right. Why? Because you need your armor on. You know, this Christian life is more than just about you. You have others that you need to intercede for and protect. And if you're too hypnotized by the world, your children are going to be. If you're too hypnotized by earthly things, then your children are going to be. If you're too selfish and self-centered, then your children are going to be. Believe me, the devil can see through that fake nonsense. He can see the fleshly nonsense in there. And he will use it. He will use it against you. He'll use it in your family. He'll use it in your children. That's why there needs to be a crucified life that's lived. For I am crucified with Christ. Right? Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's time to come off your own throne and stop being so self-centered. Because you can't help anybody when your best interests are you, pleasing you. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Your selfishness isn't going to work. It's a route, it's a doorway for the devil to afflict you, to afflict your family, to get to you. Next, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Got to use the weapons of our warfare. Remember, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual, to the pulling down of the strongholds. You know, you're yelling and you're raising your voice and all those other things a lot of times. Why don't you go get in your prayer closet and do it to God and cry out to Him? That'll have a greater effect. That'll have a much greater effect. than anything else that you can possibly do. It's more powerful. Spiritual warfare is what is needed. Bible preaching is what is needed. God uses the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. They need to be under biblical preaching and be preached to and taught the scriptures to at home. It's the only thing that can help them. Obviously, continue to nurture that with hymns and songs and spiritual songs played in the home. Pray with them. Pray over them. Pray for them. Pray against the devil. Pray against his kingdom. Pray for victory. Pray for strength. Intercede for them. Especially, find out what's in their heart. We talked about this, but find out what's in their heart. You have to find out what's in their heart. It's a scary thing, isn't it? You may not want to know. I can tell you from experience, it's not a lot of fun. But if you've repented of things and taken things out of your life and their lives, that they don't become bitter, and find out that if they're bitter and angry and just conformed outwardly, but inwardly they're a rebel at heart. Have you ever asked them what they have thought about the decisions that you've made? Have you? Have you ever asked them what they thought about the fact when you took everything away, those things that they liked? Or when people left, or when things happened? Have you ever asked them? Not their permission. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, have you ever asked them how it affected them, what they thought about it? If it hurt them, and explain to them their love for those things is wrong, and that God is right to take everything away that is evil and sinful out of your life to protect your heart from evil and from Satan. The friends they've had to separate from, or the family members, have you ever talked to them about that, how that makes them feel? What their reaction is to that, how that's affected their lives. I got one for you. Have you ever asked them how taking away Christmas and Christmas presents and all those things, how that has affected their life? Especially when it's something that they've held on to for such a long time. And they're used to that for such a long time. You may think, well, my wife was upset about it, or, you know, but what about your children? How do they feel about it? You know, for a lost person, they don't really care if paganism is attached to it. As a child, then it's just paganism is attached to it. Well, whatever. I mean, that doesn't mean anything to me. I just wanted presents, or I just wanted this, or I just, you know. I just liked all that stuff. I liked all the fun with that. But have we ever really delved into that and found out? Think about it, right? How it affects them and what they think about all those changes. The friends they've had to separate from, or the family members, or the family they had to leave. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I've seen bitter people, man, and they will defile many. Wicked. That root of bitterness that springs up and sprays everybody. Venom. Vitriol venom and hate. That's why you know why it's called a root of bitterness? Because it's down in deep into the depths of the wicked, deceitful heart of a man or woman. It is down deep inside of there. Boy, when it blows, does it ever blow? And I'll tell you this, what the Bible says. Only Christ can make bitter water sweet. Oh man, I can tell you this, and I know from experience that Christ can take that bitter heart from you and make it sweet. He has the power to do that. And only He has the power to do that. Yes, He does. Sometimes sin and the love for the world is rooted down deep into a child that it needs to be brought up to the surface to be dealt with. Worldliness was deep in Lot's wife's heart. Though her outward actions, grabbed by the hand and taken out, didn't matter. Her heart was still in Sodom. Her heart was still there. We look for evidences of salvation, and while they are children, the Bible is very clear. You know, while they are children, we think sometimes, well, I mean, what kind of evidence they're going to have? Well, Proverbs 20, verse number 11 says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Clear, right? Proverbs 3, 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. It says, let thine. It doesn't say, let my actions keep thy commandments. What does it say? It says, let thine heart keep my commandments. A child can outwardly conform like a robot and do what they're told because they have no choice. They really have no choice. But their heart is what's to be obedient. That's why David said, and Solomon said, my son, give me thine heart. Because if you have the heart, the actions follow. It's about the heart. That's what it's about. Having their heart. And that's what we need to do. That's what we have to go after. That's what we must have. And that's what I will fight the devil and all the forces of hell to get. And I will not give up until I do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Help us to pray against the devil's kingdom. And Lord, may this be used to help your saints in this room and those around the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.